All right, everyone, welcome back. For the second session, you were caffeinated. For the third session, you are ready to sleep. So this one's going to be a hard one. We'll try to make it short and sweet so we don't have many people that fall and right there. So let's pray one more time, and we'll get ready for our last one. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the meal we enjoyed, for the generosity of our brothers and sisters and the service towards us. Thank you for the abundance of food that we enjoy. And thank you, God, for fellowship and friendship. We pray that as we once again look into your word, your Holy Spirit may guide us, convict us, and help us to apply this truth in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So for our last session, we want to refocus on growth and care, and not just simply being together. Being married is one of the greatest blessings that I've had in my life, because I found a person that has the same goal that I do, which is to be more like Christ, to give God glory, to live life together for the purpose of God. And as we work together, we are able to help each other to grow in ways that by ourselves would have never been possible. We're able to see things that God wants to change in our life, in ways that when I was a single person, I just didn't get to realize that I needed help from the Lord in those areas. So a big part of refocusing our marriages for the purpose of glorifying God is giving a marriage that idea that we have this goal together, that we need to focus and work hard on growing and on caring for one another in a very intentional and intensive manner. So let me give you three short illustrations that will kind of help us ride through the rest of the message. The first one is a kitchen, right? So this is a kitchen right there. It's very clean, very nice. I like kitchens. I enjoy cooking. And one of the parts of the house that I like looking when I get into a new house is I like to see their kitchen. You know, I love big kitchens, big areas, a lot of counters, big places to put things. Like it when you have space to cook with more than two or three people and you're together doing life and cooking in the kitchen. It's one of my favorite parts of the house. At the same time, one of my least favorite parts of the house, because it's really, really hard to keep your kitchen clean. You just go cut a banana and suddenly the whole kitchen looks like a mess. And it's like, what did I do? And here's the thing about kitchens. If you don't do anything, you just leave the dishes there, it's not just going to look bad, it's exponentially going to grow bad. And just one single day that you don't do your dishes, and it begins to accumulate. And this beautiful kitchen that you had at the beginning, it's suddenly starting to look like a war zone. And it takes a lot of energy and a lot of time to clean your kitchen again and to make it look nice. And here's the bad deal about kitchen. You don't do this once a year. You don't do this once a month. You end up doing this every single day. Some of you might end up doing it three times a day, just cleaning dishes, putting them away, cleaning dishes, putting them away. It just takes a lot of energy. But if you don't want your kitchen to look like this all the time, and you like kitchens that look more like this, it requires a constant care and a constant work. Another illustration, cars, and specifically the motor and the oil in our car. When we first buy a car and we're excited about it, you don't even think about what kind of oil it uses. But it comes brand new. The oil looks brand new. It's clean. This beautiful, you know, liquid that's going to help your motor to run, the car to perform as best as it can. Now, I have no idea about cars. Everything I know about cars, I learned here in the States. Thank you. Thanks for the patience of my brothers and sisters from ELBC, because I didn't even know you had to change oil in a car. But here's what happens. If you don't change the oil in your car, and you just keep it running, and keep it running, and keep it running, that beautiful golden liquid begins to turn black and eventually brown. And eventually you have no more of it. And your motor can be completely and absolutely destroyed. Now, these cars are designed to run for a long time, especially Toyota. But what do you need for the car to run a long time? You need to maintain it. You need to do an oil change. You need to stop every certain thousand miles, realize, well, we need to invest a little bit of time, a little bit of money in this car now, and we need to do an oil change or repair some things, but we need to stop and look back because we can't keep running this car as if nothing ever happened. We need to go back and invest in it. Now, the last and third illustration. Think about your wedding. Okay, beautiful day. All the things that happened. Now, I have been blessed to be part of the Indian community because I have never experienced weddings before in my life as I've experienced Indian weddings. For me, growing in Colombia, a big wedding, like a huge wedding, was 80 people, 90 people. Like, if they invited me and I went to a wedding that had 90 people in it, I was like, man, this is a huge wedding. It's amazing. And here I am on my second year at the state that I'm invited to an Indian wedding, and it's like 300 people. I'm like, wow. How do they even know this amount of people? And I end up knowing, oh, this is this person who's the cousin of this other person. And you know what's fantastic? Everybody knows everybody. They know who they are. And there's aunties that absolutely know every single person there is and every single person there is in that wedding too. And there is just an amazement of how big that is. And for us, planning our wedding, which was like 60, 70 people, and I imagine planning a 300 people wedding, how much energy does it take? Do you remember how much planning it took to set your wedding? How many decisions it took? How many conversations maybe took? How much money did you invest in that wedding day, in that ceremony? I bet it was a hefty amount and a special amount. You wanted it to be perfect. You wanted it to be absolutely beautiful. So you planned and you did and you worked on it as much as you could because you wanted that to be a very special day. Here's the thing about marriage. A godly, vibrant marriage, which is what we want to have. A marriage that displays the glory of Christ and a marriage that works together for the mutual sanctification. It's going to require constant care, regular maintenance, and an investment of time, energy, and money, all under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And this is so important that we understand that marriage and a good marriage and a godly marriage doesn't just happen. It doesn't magically appear. And it's not something that can just soar through life without you thinking about it. Just like the kitchen requires constant care, and you daily need to go and wash the dishes every day to keep good care of your kitchen. There are things in your marriage that you need to learn, and you need to learn what they are. And they are different in every marriage. You know, I cannot give you a specific thing you need to do every day because each of your needs are very different. But you need to find out what are those dishes in your marriage that you need to wash every single day. What are the I'm sorry that you need? What are the kind actions that need to be done every day? What are the times that your marriage just needs to continue breathing? What is that constant care that you need to invest in each other? A godly marriage requires regular maintenance. You need to check the oil because we run and we run that car and we run it everywhere we go. We're picking up the kids. We're going to work. We're doing so many things. We're doing life together. Imagine if our own cars that we drive so much and we pretty much live in them require regular maintenance. How much more doesn't it require for this beautiful and precious relationship that holding up everything around you and everything in your life, how much more does that require a checkup? It requires stopping life, right? When you're going to change the oil, You never do that running the car, do you? You're not like driving through 75 and getting into the oil change lane. And as you're doing 70 down 75, magically there's an oil change happening. And then you get out of the expressway and your oil changes. No, you need to stop the car. You actually have to drop the car somewhere else unless you're doing it yourself. And you have to stop using your car for a couple of hours so they can check it up. And if there's anything wrong with it, you won't be able to use your car for a couple of days because it needs checkup, it needs maintenance. And here we are thinking that we as human beings and our relationship as a marriage can run for years and years and years and years through sickness, through difficulty, through strife, through economic crisis, and we don't need to do a check. We don't need to do a maintenance. We don't need to change the oil. Guess what? We do. And suddenly we're surprised when our relationships are not. Suddenly we're surprised when there's huge things that flare out and come out. And we shouldn't be, because the engine light has been going on for a couple of years and we haven't stopped taking care of things. So having a godly marriage will require that every now and then you stop down and you deal with things. You stop down and you evaluate all things to come. You take some time to stop the hectic life that we live in, to stop whatever is driving us through, and spend some time talking to one another, asking how we're doing, evaluating things, finding things that, well, we need to solve this. We need to find a solution for this. We might need help. Some of us are really, you are really savvy and can change the oil yourself. So you do that yourself. But if you need a suspension, you take it to someone who can know how to do that. That's the same for us. Some problems we're able to solve with one another, given the time, given the dedication, given the prayer, guided by the Lord. Some others, hey, we might need to raise our hand and say, we need help. Can somebody help with the suspension pull? Can somebody help me change the brakes over there? And as we're going to go through in a couple of minutes, that's the beauty about community. That's the beauty about church. That's the beauty about the body of Christ. Once again, we're not here to be perfect. We're here as imperfect people, helping one another and pouring into one another's life to have redemption happening in us. And sometimes we need somebody's help. We need somebody to come alongside and do maintenance work with us. And finally, it is an investment. It requires an investment of time, energy, and money. Don't think that you can just have a godly marriage without setting aside specific time for your marriage, without maybe investing some time in reading a good book about marriage, in maybe going to a conference about it, maybe just investing some money in you as a relationship, in a time together, in going out on a date night, all these things that require some very intentional investment. So it does require that, and it all needs to be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need? Let me go to Ephesians 4 1 second. And this will be very general, and then we'll come back in a file, okay? I'm going to ask you to read this with me because I want you to be awake as we are going through this. So, the count of three, if you can read what's in front of you, we'll read it together. 1, 2, 3. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Now, you've read Ephesians 4 several times. So you know that Ephesians 4, especially verses 10 on, are dealing with the spiritual gift and are dealing with what God has given the church and how God has equipped the church so that every person in the church with a spiritual gift is working together towards this goal. What is the goal? What is the purpose of being a church? The purpose of being a church is not just gathering together to worship. That's part of it. That's not the purpose. Why are we here? Why do we gather? Why are there spiritual gifts? They're not just to worship the Lord. They are meant for something that is interacting with one another. Teachers, evangelists, everybody here can pour in a way that others can into our life so that all of us are growing until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we look like a mature manhood. The maturity is the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. As disciples of Jesus Christ, what you and I are meant to do constantly is every day we're meant to look more like Jesus. When a year goes through and we look back and we haven't grown and we look just the same, there's something wrong. When a year goes by and in our community, we haven't helped one another. We haven't held accountable one another. We haven't poured scriptures and prayer and companionship one another. So that as we go back and we say like, man, that was a good year or that was a rough year, but I learned it. The Lord challenged me to do that. I'm growing in this area. My faith grew in this way. And there's something wrong because that's the purpose of church. That's the purpose of community. And I'm going to apply this to our marriages. And I'm going to say that is a big purpose of marriage. So that as you walk along this life and you deal with one another, you're helping each other to grow. And your partner, your spouse, is that one person that God is going to use to help you some way to grow and to be more like Jesus. And that's your goal too. Part of your goal as a husband, as a wife, you need to ask yourself and you need to pray about it. This has to be an intentional part of your life. How can I? Have you asked that to the Lord? Lord, this year, how can I help my husband or my wife grow to be more like you? How can I be a part of what you're doing? How can you use it? How can my gifting, my personality, my time be a blessing for my spouse so they are more like Jesus Christ? That's not a question we do to ourselves very often. At least I don't do it very often. And this has been a thought that has really changed the way that I approach my married life. Because we're often thinking, how are we going to deal with the kids? How are we going to deal with work here? How are we going to deal, where are we going to serve in church here? Or how are we going to deal with my parents? These are the questions that are constantly going through my mind. They're good questions. They're part of life, right? We need to deal with them. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying, are we also asking? Is a very important question that's going to shape the way we relate to our spouse. And that's going to be part of our goal, right? And this is a practical way in which we make giving God the glory goal in our life by having a purposeful and intentional prayer life, but also planning life about growth. Maybe that means, you know, this year, I am going to, let me give you some examples. As my kids were growing, and they were in the ages from probably like 2 to maybe 10 years old. Dealing with the kids takes a lot of work, a lot of energy for my wife, and she needs to start very early. And one of the things that was very difficult for her was to have a quiet time. She wanted to, she desired that, but having a quiet time had become a big challenge because she was dealing with the kids all the time, and she was very tired. And when she was trying to get to her quiet time, she just fell asleep, you know, and then felt really bad and guilty about it. But she just, for quite a time, she didn't have that time with the Lord. So one of the ways as we were praying, it was like, we need each other. Like, I need to help my wife. And I need to pray and find ways in which I can help her have that quiet time. And that looked differently throughout the year. Sometimes it was me taking care of the kids during a couple of hours during the day and telling her, this is your time. Go need rest and have your time with the Lord. Sometimes it meant sitting down as a couple and planning our day together, making our relationship with God a priority and saying, when do we need to start the day? But you can have your quiet time in the morning. That's your favorite time to have a quiet time. Okay, so what needs to happen? I need to help with it. He needs to go to bed at this time. I need to make sure that happens. And as a man, I need to help around the house and make sure things are happening so that we fulfill that goal of going to bed at a certain time. And helping her with that so that she's rested and the next day she can have her quiet. And that was a little thing that as we did it throughout a year, helped. And as we look back, we say like, wow, this has been a better year for the Lord. I have been able to pray a little more. Thank you. you helped me through that. With her, how can Billy help me? And this was a big prayer to be a better leader, spiritual leader at my home. And having our Bible study time as a family, again, with growing up children was always a challenge as well. And we had never been able to truly have one very consistent. But again, as we were going through this and planning that year, and she said, how can I help you? I said, I need you to help me to be a better spiritual leader. How can that be? And that meant giving gentle reminders when I didn't lead our quiet time. But it also meant, and I asked her, not bickering about it, but just letting me know that I didn't do it. Because it would turn into a strife sometimes. You're not doing this again. You're like, she would get mad about it, and then we get an argument. It was like, no, just remind me. I want to do this. It's not that I don't want to. Sometimes I get too busy. I don't do it. I forget, but I want to do it. And setting off at a time and just having gentle reminders about it. And as we did that through a year, we ended up finally having a very consistent family Bible time that the four of us enjoyed, and it has helped us grow as a family. But this took a very intentional conversation of Billy and me sitting down. We usually do this around the beginning of the year. We take a weekend off, just me and her, and we take some time to talk about how was the year, how we have been, what are our goals this year, how can we help each other to grow. And we spent some time on this during that weekend. And part of the goals during the weekend were this. And it really did help us. It helped our family grow. It helped our family grow together in Christ, because both of us had this idea that I'm going to help you to grow, and you're going to help me to grow and to apply what we have to find. There's another reminder of why we need one another. This is the goal that God has. Romans 8, 28 and 29 remind us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. My brothers and sisters, this is not optional. This is our ultimate purpose. We have been destined to be conformed to the image of his son. This is the ultimate purpose that all of us have as believers. Therefore, it should be one of the most important goals that we have in our life and that we have as marriage. There's another reason why we need to help one another. James 1 reminds us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Why? Why do you think that James had to make this reminder? Because we're horrible at this. As human beings, we are so good at hearing and at filling our heads with knowledge and thinking that just because we know it, it's done and it's good. And we forget that knowledge has to be applied to our hearts so that our actions are changed and we live out the gospel. There's this idea, you know, it's like the Great Commission. The Great Commission, go and make disciples. And what do we do with that commandment? We analyze it. We execute it. We make conferences about it. We talk about it one another. We make Bible studies about going and making disciples. How many of us are going? How many of us are making disciples? There's a difference between talking about the things of God and then doing the things that God has commanded. And it is in our nature. It is in our nature to deceive ourselves. And I love the way that James sets it up. We can deceive ourselves. We can think, honestly think, that we are doing so well, that we are living the Christian life in such a well manner because we know this thing, because we can verbalize, because we can share in the Lord's Supper, because we can even stand up here and share the word of God. And we can deceive ourselves and think, if I'm doing all of these things, I'm golden, I'm good, I'm living for Christ, I'm giving God glory. But here's the deal. God is more interested in our character and in how it displays who Christ is than in us just simply going through the motion, making the act. He's more interested in our heart and the intentions of our heart and on the things we are doing. We can be doing a lot of great things with the wrong heart and the wrong intention, and they're worthless. They're absolutely worthless. That's why 1 Corinthians prevents us, and in the judgment of Christ, all of our works will be tested through fire, and many of them, they will just disappear. Why? Because they were coming out of the wrong heart. So we need one another. You need that person that's beside you. You need your spouse so that he or her can hold you accountable, can check up with you, can tell you and let you see the blind spots and help you realize, well, honey, this is something that we are hearing, but we're not doing. We are lacking in patience with one another. We are lacking in loving for our neighbors. We are lacking in sharing the gospel with people. We are lacking in focusing our lives in the face of all of that. Or, this is great. I think we're doing this better. Let's keep at it. Let's strengthen this part of our marriage. Let's strengthen this part of our life with Christ. We need one another for that. And that requires an intentional setup and a mindset to apply. Why do we need it? Because we're sinners. And our natural inclination will be not to do the will of God. Romans 7 is a reminder. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So, going back to some of the personal examples, I honestly, it is not my intention, it is not my desire to be selfish and self-centered in my relationship with my wife. I am convicted and I have an honest desire to actually put her first, to consider her and to love her. It is not Billy's intention to be angry. She's not in rebellion against God saying, well, I have the right to be angry. I will get angry whenever I want to. No, she actually understands that this is part of our sinful nature and she wants to do things better and let the Lord control her and not submit control to other things. But guess what? We find this in ourselves. And that is actually kind of frustrating that there's a war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. So we're in this constant war where we need the Spirit of God. That's the answer, right? Praise God who has delivered us through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 is about living in the Spirit of God. And we need one another for it. I need those reminders. I need my wife to come by my side. Give me the grace of God as she forgives me and remind me, honey, we need to pray. Honey, we need the Spirit of God. Honey, we need the Lord working in our life right now. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let me work with you because I want to see Jesus in you as much as I want to see Jesus in her. And that just, it's completely rewiring and a complete refocusing on how we do marriage. You know, we're so worried about the offense that we receive. You know, something like this happens between us as a couple and we're offended. We should be. I mean, something was wrong, was done wrong against us. But please evaluate yourself. If you're not on the wrongdoing, but on the wrong receiving, this also requires a refocus. Because you need to focus not only on how you feel bad about it, but you need to focus on how your spouse needs Jesus in Christ's life and the Spirit of the Lord working in her. And you need to worry about them more than you worry about yourself. That's Philippians 2, right in this situation. So whereas, yes, I was hurt, but I know you hurt both because sin also hurts you and it hurts me. So I'm worried and I'm praying also that you are able to live this life full with the Holy Spirit and let the Lord work with you to change your character and transform you. And that brings a different dynamic to us because then I'm more willing to forgive because I understand how sinful I am. And then I'm more willing to work with you. And I'm willing to be gentle and kind and to do a kindness action with you because my focus is on both of us growing and approaching the Lord. That's my wife. Hey, Philippe. I'm in a conference right now speaking about you. Love you. Bye-bye. She was, I know. So we need each other to keep going. Quick reminder of a couple of verses. Hebrews 3:13, and we're close to 15. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. As the author Hebrews was writing to this big audience, he's reminding them constantly, exhort one another. Sin can be deceitful. We can be so self-righteous. We can think that we're doing things so well. And we need each other's expectation. Not only that, we need one another as the body of Christ on the suffering. Hebrews 10:24, and this one is one of my favorites. It really helped me reconsider what coming to church is about. In verse 24, and I probably have talked about this here, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good work, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day is growing near. Now, please take a look at this verse, because again, we are very good at selecting what we want from verses. And usually we look at this verse and we read, do not neglect to meet together. You know, it's like, come to the meeting, come to every meeting. Like, you have to be here. You know, it's about being here and being together. Yes, but with what purpose? It's not coming here just to sit down and be here. That's not the main command. That's not the main verb. That's not the main idea. The main idea starts in verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good work. That's the positive action. That's what we need to be focused on. So, obviously, don't neglect to meet, because if we don't meet, you cannot stir up one another to love and good works. But what is the purpose of meeting together? Why are we here? Why do we gather together? Part of it is to worship the Lord, remember Him as He has commanded us. But another big part of meeting as a church is having those kind of conversations, having that kind of intimacy, having that kind of relationship where we can steer one another to love and good work. When we can know each other, when we can open ourselves to each other in such a way that we know, I'm praying for you. How are you doing this? I was praying for you this week about that challenge you shared our last meeting. The Lord gave me this first week. No, I've been praying about that. I was, look, I found this great resource, and we're not hiding our flaws from one another. We're not just displaying our Sunday beautiful faces with one another. We know we're flawed. I mean, who are we kidding? All of us, we know we're flawed. We know we're flawed, but we're helping each other with those flaws. We're steering one another. We're providing opportunities to serve one another and to be built up to love and good works. So yes, do not neglect to meet. But when you come to meet, do not neglect to stir up one another for love and good work. And think about how that applies for us. Growth happens in community. We need one another. And our marriages need community. We need to belong. We need to have and share with others around us. But more than anybody, no one knows you more deeply, more sincerely than your spouse. And they are the best partner for you to grow and to be more like Christ. So as we close up the seminar this morning, I do want to thank you for all your attention and for being here. You have invested this morning time and energy on your marriage. And I do pray that something this morning be helpful for you and help you to grow as a couple. I honestly pray that you're able to grow together and to help each other to be more like Christ. Let's go out considering this question. How can you help each other grow? And if you're able, I would kindly ask that before the day ends, maybe as you're going back in the car, or maybe you can, before you get the kids, if you happen somewhere else, stop at a coffee place, sit down for a couple of minutes, and just ask this question to one another. Ask your spouse, "Pretty, how can I help you grow? How can I help you be more friends? Is there anything that I can do? Is there any area that I can pray for? Is there something that you're..." Because it's very easy to just point a finger and say, "You need to change." It's a very different scene to say, "How can I help you with it? And let's work together. I'm your partner. I'm your companion. Your help lead and your servant leader. How can we help each other more?" And as we do that as a community, we see grow with one another. And why not? Maybe share with each other what God is doing in each one of us, the couple, so that we can encourage one another, continue to grow, steer up, sir, and steer up ourselves to love and good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are once again thankful, so thankful that you are so merciful with us and that you have so much grace for us. Thankful for the gospel. Thankful that we are not supposed to come to you as perfect human beings, but that we come close to you as flawed and as completely, completely needy people that need your Holy Spirit, that need you to transform our lives, that need you to transform our hearts, that need you to transform who we are. Heavenly Father, we love you, we adore you, and we give you all that we are. Here's our merit. Please build it up. Please focus our marriage on you. Please help me to love my spouse, to serve them, and to be a part of what you want to do in their life. Help me to stop focusing on myself, my happiness, my well-being, and make the mind of Christ my mind. Would you help all of us to grow together and as one body, as Edmunds Lane Bible Chapel? Would you use the body of Christ to help all of us to grow together in, to have beautiful marriages for the world and to be more like you? In the name of your Son that we pray for. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.